Hi, folks. Welcome to the Langley Sport Locker Room podcast, where we sort of take the opportunity to catch up with current and former students and just really get them to share their sporting journeys with us. We'll have our regular features as well, so our rapid revision, a 60-second summary where one of our GCSE pupils picks a topic area, and our Beat the Teacher Challenge, which is sponsored by the brilliant people over at NEX Team Inc. and their amazing Home Court app. I'm joined as ever by our talented and experienced co-host, head of cricket and international indoor cricket sensation, Mr. Jones. Welcome.
Hello, Mr. Field.
Mr. Jones, you're a man who's always got two fingers on the sporting and PE pulse. What's new in your world of sport this week?
Well, yeah, it's been an early morning for me, 4 a.m. rise. Obviously, England versus India on terrestrial television for the first time since 2005, I believe. So, yeah, a bit of an early start this morning. Enjoyed Joe Root getting another 100, top-class player, and certainly a lot to learn from him. But other than that, trying to close my rings on Apple Fitness, a few competitions between us PE teachers and things like that, which is always good fun. And obviously, as you alluded to, the Home Court app. If you haven't checked it out, people, you really need to. It's a load of fun. Certainly brings out the competitive juices, and there is a leaderboard. So currently I'm top of that only because I started the Langley School Challenge team. So I took a picture because I don't think it will last very long. But yeah, I look forward to seeing some students and teachers on that and having a bit of fun with that.
Great stuff. I'm sure there are a few pupils and teachers just waiting to topple you from your home court perch. Not me, of course.
I don't think it'll be hard.
Okay, shall we dive into this episode then?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm very excited. Let's kick it off first with a rapid revision, where we challenge pupils to summarise a topic in 60 seconds. This week's rapid revision challenge is provided by Ellie in Year 10, and the topic she chose was the skeletal system. Here we go.
Support.
Protection.
Posture.
Blood cell production.
The axle is central to the core of the body, and you can think of it like the y-axis on the ground.
The appendicular skeleton is basically your arms and your legs.
Bones. Cranium, clavicle, scapula,
sternum, rib cage, humerus, ulna, radius, vertebrae, your spine, your carpals, your metacarpals, phalanges, pelvis, femur, patella, tibia, fibula, carpals, metacarpals, phalanges.
Fantastic effort, Ellie. Thank you so much for that. So much information in such a short space of time. Top work, yeah, and some really key words in there that hopefully will jog people's memories when it comes to those all important exams. Okay, let's have a look at our home court Beat the Teacher challenge this time round. The one we're going to be looking at today is reaction. Open up the Home Court app, click on activities, tap the agility tab, and there right at the top you will find reaction. Don't get too addicted, have some fun with it, and post your scores on the Langley team. Mr. Jones, shall we hit the main event?
I'm excited, let's do it.
Let's go.
So guys, I'm very, very fortunate to have a fantastic guest on today's first episode of the Langley School Locker Room. Just going to give you a little insight and a story into this young man. He provided probably one of my funniest moments, definitely of last summer, if not one of my Langley career all-time moments. I'm sure he won't mind me sharing this. He doesn't really have much choice, actually, thinking about it. It all happened on a lovely sunny afternoon in July, June, July, when we were running around the field. Now, cricket isn't this person's main sport of choice, let's put it that way. And in the space of about a minute, he probably provided not only me, but about 100 of his peers and fellow and teachers, one of the funniest moments I've ever seen. So we're playing a game of quick cricket. For those of you who know Langley, the far field where the tree is felled, there's a little ditch. You need to be careful running down those ditches. But our guest today hurtled after a ball, full speed, and and decided to faceplant. But what made it even funnier is, for some unknown reason, he just chose not to put his arms out and fully faceplanted into the ground, managed to get it off, shake it off, throw the ball in. All of us are in tears for a good minute or so. Very next ball, I kid you not, very next ball, the ball gets hit to him again in the air this time. Ball's coming to him. I can see the horror in his face as this ball was coming towards him. He manages, I still don't know how to this day, to catch it in between his elbow and his waist, like just managed to like perch in there, spark celebrations. He's running in the opposite direction. His teammates are trying to run after him, celebrate the catch. Everything calms down a little bit. I thought, okay, that's good. It's been a good couple of minutes, entertaining. Literally, probably two balls later, if that, little shot out into it towards him. He goes full pace, luckily for him, up the hill this time. Picks it up one-handed, does a fantastic diving throw that hits the stumps and runs out the batsman. So basically, in the space of about 3 minutes, he's not only gone from the best, from the worst fielder to the best fielder I'd seen at Langley for some time. So yeah, without further ado, I'd love to welcome Joe Plunkett to the podcast. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you very much for that.
Do you remember that story? Do you remember those moments?
Hey, brilliant day, that one. They don't teach that kind of stuff, sir. So
I'll tell you, they certainly don't, Joe. It's great to have you on, Joe. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? How long you've been at Langley? Sort of, what subjects you take, and I suppose why you chose Langley?
Yeah, so I joined Langley in year 8, so 2014. I came from Elsham High School, and now I take English Literature, Sport BTEC and Psychology. And yeah, so I came because, well, realistically it was because of rugby. There wasn't much rugby provision at Elsham, and I originally went to a taster day at Taverham Prep, and then I ended up just off the chance just coming here for an open day, and then chose to come here instead, and just come here ever since. Yeah,
fantastic stuff. It's great to see those links working with the prep and the senior school. Talking about your subjects, Joe, why did you choose those specific subjects? What's your plan for the future?
So I chose sport and psychology because I want to study sport and exercise science, hopefully, at university. I've always just enjoyed just learning about sport, learning how I can better my performance and stuff like that. And I chose English because, well, I'm quite a keen reader. I like reading, but they also did a lot for me when I was coming back from my injury and stuff. So the teachers, Mrs. Ayres, Mrs. Gammer, Mr. Wood, they've all been really good to me. So yeah, I just get on with those guys quite a lot as well. And yeah, it just really helped me out. So, and I just enjoy the subjects as well, but sport and psychology probably come into sport and exercise science a bit more. So I saw that as sort of a way to go to university and get the grades. And yeah.
Some interesting choices there, Joe. And I like your, you know, you've picked a couple of things that you think are going to help you in the future and where the future career path goes, but also subjects that you enjoy. And importantly, you know, the staff around you that you've mentioned there, that you know are, you know, helpful staff and are going to help you out through the course, and you're going to enjoy getting on with through those 2 years. Sport's clearly a big part of your life and a big part of where you are going. I guess what we want to do is we want to dig in a little bit deeper then into these sporting experiences whilst you've been at school, and kind of taking it all the way back to, you know, when you joined in year 8. Obviously rugby was a big push, but I know that's not the only thing that you've done whilst at school. So maybe you'd just like to share some bits, and we'll ask questions along the way if you don't mind.
Yeah, so should I just go from the start? Obviously, I came on a sort of open day type of thing. I was toured around. I just loved everything about Langley. I loved, obviously, there was loads of sports provision, but the teachers seemed to go a bit extra above and beyond for everyone compared to what I was probably getting at my old school. And that's not a knock on Elsham, it's a brilliant school, but Langley just obviously go the extra mile. The teachers, all the students had probably a better connection with the teachers. So that's why I chose to come to Langley. And then sports wise, I've tried to play more. My parents encouraged me to play as many sports as I could when I was younger. So I played football. I actually, before I even did any sports, I did Irish dancing. My dad's Irish, so I did a bit of Irish dancing.
That footwork that we see on the rugby pitch, then clearly
if Mr. Oakes is listening to this, he's probably actually going to be shocked because I'm the most heavy-footed person in the world. So, yeah, I did try it. I did cricket for a summer, which is where I learned the skills.
Those amazing skills.
They encouraged me to play different sports, and then that probably carried on at Langley. But then they pushed me a bit more towards rugby, and it just sort of naturally happened like that. Rugby's always been my main passion for a sport. I've played it since I was like 4. And so Mr. Oakes, Mr. Malone, Mr. Knights, they all just sort of really helped me with my individual stuff a lot as well. So I was in the gym, they helped me with my individual development plans, and they spent quite a bit of time with me. And so as you go through the school, you sort of want to pay back the time that they gave you. So it just made me want to work quite hard for them.
When would you say that rugby focus started, Joe? What sort of school year were you at where the other things started to slide and you decided, yes, rugby's the way I want to go?
Probably was when I originally came to Langley. I sort of saw it as quite a good opportunity. There was loads of really good rugby players. You had when I was in year 8, like Harry Mahoney, Joe Hegarty, they were all in the first team. And there was a clear pathway of development. So if I'm honest, it's as soon as I came to Langley, I saw a clear development way to go into the academy, get into the first team. And I just love playing rugby. So
do you think those other sports helped in your development as a rugby player? I mean, I was actually digging through some photos archives at school yesterday, and there was a very young looking Joe at a sports day in your Mancroft vest, chasing down Ross, I believe, on the final straight of what looked maybe like an 800 metres. So you've clearly involved yourself in lots of other sports. You've talked about the cricket, and I believe you played some quite high-level football at school as well.
Yeah, so I did. I played in the under-16 team in the year above me that won the Norfolk Cup. I didn't go to the national finals of that team, but it was the team that won the national finals. And I wouldn't say I'm a high level footballer. I just enjoy playing sports. Like I've always enjoyed playing sports. I've got a real passion for football as well. I've been going to Norwich since I was 4 or 5 with my granddad. So I just enjoy playing sports, and the football and athletics probably did help out with my rugby. I'd say it probably helps with, you don't have such a narrow focus all the time, and it keeps you motivated when you go back to the rugby more than anything, I'd say. You obviously do pick up different skills and stuff like that, but it meant that when I did take rugby even more seriously, it was very narrow focused. I was able to stay motivated on the rugby, and I didn't sort of burn out from it, and I still haven't burnt out from it, luckily. But whereas I feel by the time you get to 16, 17, lots of people, or lots of 16, 17-year-olds probably don't want to play rugby as much anymore because, you know, you're getting hit and stuff like that. Whereas for me, it just sort of increased the enjoyment a bit more.
Okay. Joe, love that story. You've had some fantastic highs, but unfortunately you've also had a few lows, haven't you, in your Langley sporting career? I know a few years ago, you were unfortunate enough to break your leg in a rugby match. I wanted to maybe explore a little bit about that, sort of your mindset, your feelings just around that injury. What were your initial thoughts when it happened? Like sort of when it happened, maybe the few days afterwards when you're coming to terms with the injury and potentially, what that might hold for the future?
Yeah, well, in between the time of like me finding out that I broke my leg and before the surgery, I was actually told I wouldn't play rugby or get to a decent level. I was told I'd probably have to just like sort of stick to running and stuff like that. That was the immediate thing that they said to me, because I sort of half dislocated my ankle as well. And I think that was sort of the thing that they said would hinder that. So immediately I was obviously really upset, because it was sort of the time that I really wanted to take rugby a bit more seriously. So I was really upset. And then once I had the surgery, my Leicester coach, or one of the Leicester coaches called Jamie Taylor, he called me up and he was like, don't worry about it. We're here to help you. AD, literally his son or daughter, I can't remember which, had just been born that day. And AD was like, don't worry, I'll call you up and I'll look after you and stuff like that throughout my rehab. And yeah, so.
And AD, school physio.
Yeah, Mr. Sweeney, AD, the school physio, he'd just had his kid. And he was like, no, don't worry, I'll help you rehab and we'll get you back, don't worry about it. So immediately it was obviously massive upset because I didn't think I'd be able to carry on playing rugby as seriously as I wanted to.
What was now this sort of stuff might be quite interesting, first of all, from those studying BTEC Diploma Sport, do a sports injury management. So some of the psychology around this might be interesting. But I think also for other pupils who have had injuries, might get injured in the future, and parents maybe who need to perhaps support their youngsters. What were those first feelings? You say you were upset, but what was it? What was going through your head at the time then for someone who was clearly building a life towards rugby to be told then suddenly you'll never play rugby again?
Yeah, it was just massively upset for that. And before my surgery, I just couldn't think about anything else but playing rugby. I was thinking a lot about the actual situation that happened, how I broke my leg and stuff like that, and what I could do differently, which didn't really help. Sort of. Me and my dad make a little joke about it now, where he's like, "That was the worst tackle I've ever seen in my whole entire life." And it's just, but at the time, he didn't say it at the time, obviously, but at the time, I was probably thinking I could have done that a lot differently. And so, yeah, I probably did sort of blame myself a bit, because I guess at the end of the day, it's easy for me to look back at it now and say, oh, I could have done that differently because I could have tackled him differently. But it was just massive upset immediately because.
Do you think you changed during that period of time, in that time where rugby may have no longer been an option? Do you think you changed in your sort of behaviour, in the way that you thought about things? Did you change things that you would normally do and then didn't?
I probably changed in the way I thought a bit more than the things I did, because once I had the chat with Jamie Taylor, the academy coach, and with AD, they sort of reassured me that I could come back. And I was very narrow focus on getting back as early as possible, which, and so I came back quicker than what I originally wanted to. And so that probably did help with that, but I'd say also probably hindered my schoolwork for a bit as well, when I look back on it, I do regret it a bit, because the teachers are saying you've got to carry on doing well with your schoolwork, and all I could think about was trying to get back and play rugby. So yeah, I'd say it was more the way I thought about things changed rather than what I was actually doing. But yeah, so my dad and my stepdad and my mum and my stepmum, they really helped me the way I was thinking, especially my stepdad and my mum and my dad, because they were all very into positive thinking and how you can change the way you think. And my dad's probably a bit more blunt with that stuff as well. So they were sort of like, there's no point in just carrying on being upset. That's not actually going to do anything for you. And getting back as quickly as possible, you've got to just do the work, and that's all you can do at the end of the day. But they were also really supportive with me, obviously. They just, anything that I needed, they would come with my doctor's appointments, anything, anytime, they were always there for me. So, yeah.
That's brilliant. I mean, it was going to be one of my next questions, but you've kind of answered it in the kind of support network outside of physios and rugby, your other support network that you leaned on during that time. And you know, that's really, I think that's a really important thing. And the things that you said there about the support that you had from your family, it's probably really key. So, but hey, we're through that now. We are out the other side of it. I think Mr. Jones wants to explore some of your successes a little bit at Langley as an individual, as a part of a team. And it's, you know, it's great to have seen you come back from that injury so well.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Those support networks are so vital, whether it be here at school or family and things like that. They get you time. But I suppose you have to have that resilience somewhere inside of you, Joe, and sort of the mindset to flip that switch and say, okay, something bad has happened. I can't do anything about it now. I've been angry. I've been upset. I've been frustrated. What am I going to do now to try and change that situation? I know you talked about your parents and things like that. Do you think you have the sort of mindset and resilience sort of in yourself? How did you sort of bring that out like obviously when you're laying in bed at night and your parents aren't there and nobody from school's there, what kind of things or advice would you give to a young person who's had an injury like yourself, but are still wanting to pursue their professional career in whatever sport it might be?
I just really enjoy, I knew I really enjoyed playing rugby. I knew I enjoyed winning and doing stuff like that. So sort of that stuff drove me. And at that point, I found Matt Fraser, the CrossFit, and a line that he said really was that, like, I'm going to do the things today what no one will do, so I can do this stuff tomorrow that no one can. That line, I remember that okay. being the line that sort of stuck with me. So it was just sort of that things. And then Mr. Oakes and Mr. Knights and Mr. Malone really knew which buttons to push and when, which really helped as well. So I guess, yeah, I'd like to think I'm quite a resilient person after going through something like that and trying to deal with it the way that I did. And it was just sort of all I could think about was coming back and playing rugby, and everything in my life was based around coming back and playing rugby. I just, for that 3.5-4 months, all I did was like putting towards effort. Everything I thought about, everything I did was to come back to play rugby.
I love that, Joe. It takes a lot of credit to you, because those are not easy situations to come back from, that's for sure. So all credit to you.
And the future now then, Joe. So you came back, you played, you actually went on a bit of a successful run with school in the National Vars. And we're now on the verge of, you're going to have to leave Langley at the end of this year. What does the future hold then in your sporting future? Where next?
Well, I played with the Tigers Academy over this time, and I just literally had my call the other day. I didn't get the contract that I probably wanted to get originally, but just being with the Academy has given me opportunities. So hopefully I'll go on to play rugby at university in the Bucks Super Rugby. That's probably where I want to go next. I also probably want to try and get into the North Horsham team as well, play a few games for them, because that's the club I grew up at. So just try and take as many opportunities as I can with rugby, and hopefully at university, hopefully a few at North Horsham. But I also really want to study sport and exercise science as well, so go to university and hopefully study that.
And what's your choices? What university choices are you looking at? Or where's the dream? Where do you want to go?
So Loughborough is pretty obvious one. Loughborough is like the university that I've known the most about through rugby. And then Nottingham Trent are probably the other two as well, where I've applied to, and they seem like the sort of place where I'd want to be, and the sort of culture as well. So yeah, hopefully one of those three would be nice.
Great stuff. Well, what a fascinating insight. It's been lovely hearing about your sort of your journey through there. We're gonna hit some quick fire questions now, aren't we, Mr. Jones?
Yeah, quick fire round of questions. We like to finish with this every episode, trying to put you on the spot a little bit and think on your toes. So our first question is, if you had to choose one exercise that you could do for the rest of your life, just that one exercise, what would it be?
I'd probably go back squat. Just a simple back squat.
Okay. Like it.
Some proud S&C coaches out there, I think.
Smiling to himself.
Okay, next one. Favorite workout song or band? We'd accept band as well.
Anything J. Cole. Anything from J. Cole I'll listen to when I'm working out. Yeah.
J. Cole.
Probably No Role Models is my favorite.
Role Models. Interesting.
Nice. We're going to throw you under the bus here a little bit. If you had to choose a favourite person to work out with, who would it be?
In the world or from school?
Well, let's go both. One from school, one from the world.
In the world, Matt Fraser, even though he just retired the other day. And then from school, I'll go either George Luce or Cesare. I've done a lot of gym with it. I'll go George, because I recovered with George and I've done quite a bit with him in the last year with the academy. Me and George are quite close, so I'll go with George.
Top man. Good stuff.
Best advice given to you by a teacher?
I'll go Mr. Oakes. When I was recovering, he said, "Don't try and control the uncontrollables." That was probably the best thing I heard. Best, and I can apply it to everywhere else in life. So,
love that. Really good advice.
Good book.
It is indeed. Joe, last question. What advice would you give to a young year six Joe just starting out his Langley journey?
I'd probably say just tackle try
better.
To enjoy it.
Learn to tackle better.
Yeah, learn to tackle it. Working your tackle technique. Working your tackle technique and just try and enjoy each thing as it comes. Don't worry too much about what's coming in the future, or don't try and worry about things that are coming. Just try and enjoy, be a bit more present in the moment, I'd say.
Love it. Great work, Joe.
Joe, this has been brilliant. Thank you so much for giving up your time to come in on this podcast. This is mine and Mr. Jones' first attempt at this. And if I'm being honest, I'd struggle to think of a better person to come on and share their story with to kind of kick this whole thing off. So thanks very much for that. I'm sure the people that listen to this will be able to take loads from what you've talked about. And really all it remains for us to say is all the very best for the future, the rest of this year at school, and also wherever your bright future takes you. So thanks very much.
Thanks, Joe. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Thank you for having me.
Mr. Jones.
Oh, Mr. Field.
How cool was that?
Absolutely brilliant. What a great young man. And he might not realise it, but a role model for so many, whether it be kids or adults. I think a lot can be learned from that young man. He's an impressive young man.
I really enjoyed the bit of him talking about his injury. You know, it's I think he was year 11 at the time, wasn't he? Is that right?
Yes, yeah, it was, yeah.
So the December of his year 11 year, GCSEs coming up, he's got his whole life set on rugby, snaps his leg. I mean, a real horrific injury, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was bad. It wasn't pretty. I remember that day vividly. It wasn't good.
He dealt with the whole thing with a massive amount of maturity. I remember it at the time. And even now when he recalls it, you know, why do you think, how do you think someone of that age managed to deal with things with such a level of maturity?
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. You're right. And I remember probably the week after he came back to school, hobbling around after his surgery on crutches. And you wouldn't know, he still had a smile on his face. All his peers were helping him out, carry his books, help him to class. And I suppose it just shows the character of the young man, that his friends are willing to rally around him. And he had his teachers, as he mentioned, on his side, and his great support from his family. But it couldn't have been easy. But to have that sort of mindset and that resilience to shift your focus and just think, okay, that's happened. I've got to get on with this, and I'm going to make something out of it. And to his credit, and that's huge credit, he really has. And I suppose...
Come back from that and get into the academy.
Yeah, exactly right. And I suppose out of all the people you meet, and you meet a lot of kids along the way, you want the likes of Joe Plunkett to succeed in life, because he's gone through bad things. He's come back the better side. He's a role model to so many people. Just a really nice man. And you just want those people to succeed in life, don't you?
Well, I think it's a great lesson for all of us, really, isn't it? On how we deal with setbacks. And I think that, like you said, the really important thing in there was the support network that he developed around him, and out of his own character, but also, you know, the people around him that at school that we've got to help. And I love the fact that, you know, he talked about the academic members of staff in the English department, how they rallied around him during that time, which was a real influence on him then, on his decisions at A level. And, you know, that's outside of his immediate rugby support network, plus his family. You've talked about his friends. Maybe that's the character of Joe, that he was able to build that support network. And I think, like I say, a lesson that we can all learn from that when we get into those situations, the network of support and the range of support that we have around us, you know, ultimately he's living proof that we can get through it. Even when you've been told in that first instance, your dreams are gone.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. It's so important. I suppose that's what our ultimate vision is here at Langley, is to try and create that community spirit where everybody matters. We can build that huge community and realize that we're all here for each other. I think it's going to stand us in very good stead when we leave school and in later life, really.
And just on, you know, there were some name drops in there, but some good name drops. Obviously the rugby staff through Mr. Knight, Mr. Malone, Mr. Oakes, AD and his work as a physio, the members of academic staff, and George Luce even getting a little name drop in there. We also caught up with Joe after the event, and he was very keen for us to include this.
I probably didn't say enough about Tegan either. Tegan was brilliant during that time as well.
She's
was
fuming, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even mention her once. She's only down the road as well. Her ears are probably burning.
She will be fuming. If she ever speaks to you again, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, I know.
Just terrible. Make sure she doesn't listen to this.
Yeah, I know. I'll hide it.
Love it. Yeah, brilliant. And you're right, it's just brilliant. Yes, it's fantastic. What a great story, to be honest.
So there we go. There's our first one done. I know we've both looked forward to this for a while now and thought about doing this. On first reflection, I'm sure listening back to it, there'll be some moments where we sit and think, oh, maybe we could have done that better, or maybe this could have gone better. But I think Joe was a perfect one to help us kick off on it.
Totally agree. I'm very much looking forward to the future and sort of a learning curve for both of us too. We're certainly older. You are older, Mr. Field. Just may that clarify that. But I'm excited to learn from all these kids and the guests we're going to have on in the future. Exciting times.
And maybe this is a plug then for anyone who would like to come and share their story. And at the moment, our focus is on those sixth formers that have been around. Or if you'd like to get involved in the rapid revision 60-second summary, email myself and Mr. Jones, and we will love to have you on the podcast. And that's a wrap.
Thank you, Mr. Field. Have a great weekend.
You too, Mr. Jones.
See you soon.